Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Jill Robbins, Bruce Alpert, and Anne Ball. Later, Steve Ember will bring us a history lesson in today's Making of a Nation report. But first, here is Jill Robbins.
Debbie Reynolds' son, Todd Fisher, said his mother told him that the death of her daughter, Carrie Fisher, was too much for her. On Wednesday, one day after Fisher's death, Reynolds, 84, died. "I want to be with Carrie," is what she said just before her death, Todd Fisher told the Associated Press. Can people die because they are so upset over the loss of a loved one? Some call it broken heart syndrome.
The American Heart Association lists a broken heart as a medical condition. It reports that it can lead to sudden, intense chest pain, especially for women. The good news, it said, is most people make a full recovery. Debbie Reynolds was a movie star, beginning with her starring role in 1952 with Gene Kelly in Singin' in the Rain. Fisher, 60, won fame through books, movies, and plays. She is best known for playing Princess Leia in 4 of the Star Wars movies.
Susan Gennaro is dean of the William F. Connell School of Nursing at Boston College. She said all people have felt or will feel the loss of a loved one that leaves them feeling like their heart is breaking. That can bring on stress, which can affect a person's health, Gennaro said. That is especially true for a person who already has health problems. Gennaro said she does not believe people know how to control their bodies to the point that we can will ourselves to die. But people can make the decision to give up on life or to fight and hang on, she said. I don't know why we are surprised, as we also all have stories of people who were dying and waited until a loved one arrived before dying or some other important event, Gennaro said. For people who believe that death is followed by an afterlife, it can make sense to want to join a loved one who passed away, Gennaro added. It makes all the sense in the world that Debbie Reynolds, having lived a full life, would prefer to pass to another existence with her daughter, Gennaro said.
Harvard University's School of Public Health did a study in 2013 that examined health information for 26,000 Americans over age 50. It found an increased chance of dying after a spouse dies. People who lost a wife or a husband had a 66% increased chance of dying 3 months after the spouse's death, the Harvard researchers said. David Kessler is a grief expert who has written 5 books about losing a loved one. There is a stress that comes with deep heartbreak, and that stress can affect your heart, Kessler said. For some people, that passes, but in some cases, people die from it. Kessler said his advice to people experiencing loss of a loved one is to accept the pain and sadness. We often want to run away from the pain, but that grief will actually help us heal in time if we don't run away from it, Kessler said. Kessler is still dealing with his own grief. His 21-year-old son died unexpectedly on September 12th. I've worked many years with people going through grief, Kessler said. This year, it's personal. I certainly feel a kinship with Debbie. Your heart is just so broken when you lose a child. I can see at 84 years old, she was just done. I'm Bruce Alpert.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
Gun violence is an issue in Chicago, Illinois, America's third largest city. The Chicago Tribune reported that 61 people were shot in the city during the long Christmas holiday weekend. 11 of those shot died. The Tribune said the attacks brought the total number of shootings for 2016 to more than 4,300. Chicago is not the only city in the United States to report an increase in shootings and murders. The Brennan Center for Justice is a nonprofit research group with ties to New York University's law school. It reported that the murder rate for 2016 in America's 30 largest cities is expected to be 14% higher than the rate last year. The center blames the increase on fewer police officers working in some cities, as well as poverty and increased gang violence. But it said that two large cities, Baltimore and Washington, D.C., have fewer murders than in 2015. Eddie Johnson is Chicago's police superintendent. He said 90% of those killed in his city over Christmas weekend had ties to gangs, criminal histories, or had been identified as potential offenders or victims. Johnson urged politicians to increase sentences for people found guilty of gun crimes. If you pick up a gun and shoot somebody, you should go to prison, period. That's the end of the story, he said. Some people want to give them a pass for it. I don't, he added. Chicago is working to add police officers who more closely represent the ethnicity and races of city residents. Rahm Emanuel is mayor of Chicago. He said, officers come together from different backgrounds, different cultures, and different faiths for a common cause: to serve and protect the people of the city of Chicago. And this whole city will be behind our officers, rooting for their success. Gary Slutkin is founder of a group called Cure Violence. His group has trained people to work in their communities to persuade people to choose non-violent ways of dealing with conflicts. Slutkin said the workers often knew when a young person was planning a violent act just by living nearby. Because they have credibility with their neighbors, they often have more influence than police or even parents, he said. Often, the issue with another young person was not that big of a deal. Maybe someone spoke to his girlfriend or owes him money. His workers, Slutkin said, could persuade young people that their problem with another person was not worth a violent response. Sometimes it is simply pointing out that if you go ahead and do it, people are going to be looking for payback against you, or you might spend 20 years or more in prison, Slutkin said. But he said a loss of government assistance has left all but one city neighborhood without the program this year. He believes the lost funding and higher shooting rates are related. Slutkin is a professor of epidemiology at the University of Illinois School of Public Health. He said his program uses policies developed by health experts to deal with disease. It works, he said, because violence can spread just like diseases such as AIDS or tuberculosis. His Cure Violence program operates in 25 U.S. cities, as well as in other countries such as South Africa, Honduras, Mexico, and prisons in Britain.
China wants to develop strength and size in its space program. In the next 5 years, the country plans to speed up the development of its space program. China wants to become the first country to carry out a controlled landing of a probe on the far side of the moon. China also has plans to launch its first probe to the planet Mars by 2020. China released an official policy proposal known as a white paper. The document provides details of China's plans for space exploration for the next 5 years. China says it will use space for peaceful purposes. Russia and the United States have more experience in manned space travel with programs that have been operating for more than 50 years. Morris Jones is an independent writer and an expert on the Chinese space program. He told VOA that the Chinese have one of the world's best space programs. He said it was about the same as the European program. China conducted its first manned space mission in 2003. Since then, Chinese astronauts have carried out a spacewalk. China also landed a vehicle on the moon in 2013. That was the first time a spacecraft had made a soft landing on the moon since the 1970s. Most recently, two Chinese astronauts stayed aboard China's Tiangong 2 experimental space station for 1 month. It was the country's sixth and longest space mission. In the white paper, Chinese officials do not talk about sending humans to the moon, but Jones says that may happen in the future. Jones says landing a probe on the far side of the moon is technically difficult. Because of the moon's orbit, the far side of the moon always faces away from Earth. China says landing on the far side of the moon may help explain the formation and evolution of our only natural satellite. He Qisong is a space security expert at Shanghai University of Political Science and Law. He said a soft landing on the far side of the moon would show that China has fully developed the technology needed to land on a specific area of the moon's surface. The white paper says that China is committed to the peaceful use of space and opposes a space arms race. Jones disagrees. He says China continues to develop its military space program. China plans to join Americans and Europeans who plan to go to Mars either with robots or humans. The white paper discusses China's plans to launch its first Mars probe by 2020. China also wants to explore Jupiter and to carry out research into major scientific questions such as the origin and evolution of the solar system. I'm Anne Ball.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. This week in our series, we continue the story of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Kennedy, a Democrat, defeated Republican Vice President Richard Nixon in one of the closest elections in United States history. He took office in January 1961. After 3 months, Kennedy faced a major foreign policy failure. On April 17th, armed Cuban exiles tried to invade Cuba, less than 150 kilometers from the American state of Florida. They had been trained by the Central Intelligence Agency. Their goal was to overthrow the island's communist leader, Fidel Castro. In 1959, he and his guerrilla forces had overthrown Fulgencio Batista, the president who was supported by the United States. The exiles came ashore at Cuba's Bay of Pigs. Most were killed or captured. The last administration, under President Dwight Eisenhower, had planned the invasion, but Kennedy had approved it. After the failure, some Americans again wondered if the 43-year-old president had enough experience to lead the nation. In May 1961, Kennedy went to Paris and met with French President Charles de Gaulle. Kennedy visited France with his wife, Jacqueline, who spoke French and had studied there. In June, Kennedy met in Vienna with Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev. Khrushchev did not want to compromise on any issue. He threatened to have the East Germans block all movement into and out of the Allied-controlled western half of Berlin. In November, the East Germans, with Soviet support, started building the Berlin Wall to separate East and West. President Kennedy quickly announced a large increase in American military forces in Germany. Thank you. Less than a year later came the Cuban Missile Crisis. On October 22, 1962, President Kennedy made an announcement to the American people.
This government, as promised, has maintained the closest surveillance of the Soviet military buildup on the island of Cuba. Within the past week, unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation on that imprisoned island. The purpose of these bases can be none other than to provide a nuclear strike capability against the Western Hemisphere. Upon receiving the first preliminary hard information of this nature, last Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., I directed that our surveillance be stepped up. And having now confirmed and completed our evaluation of the evidence and our decision on a course of action, this government feels obliged to report this new crisis to you in fullest detail. The characteristic of these new missile sites indicate two distinct types of installations. Several of them include medium-range ballistic missiles capable of carrying a nuclear warhead for a distance of more than 1,000 nautical miles. Each of these missiles, in short, is capable of striking Washington, D.C., the Panama Canal, Cape Canaveral, Mexico City, or any other city in the southeastern part of the United States, in Central America, or in the Caribbean area.
Kennedy had a warning for the Soviets.
It shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States, requiring a full retaliatory response upon the Soviet Union.
Kennedy and his national security advisors debated what to do about the Soviet missiles in Cuba. Should the United States try to destroy them? What if some of the nuclear missiles escaped the attack? Kennedy decided to use a naval blockade. He called it a quarantine to prevent any more Soviet ships from reaching Cuba. There were tense negotiations with the Soviets. Khrushchev demanded a promise that the United States would not invade Cuba. Kennedy agreed and did so publicly. Secretly, he also agreed to another demand. He promised that the United States would remove its Jupiter missiles based in Turkey after the crisis was over. The Cuban Missile Crisis lasted 13 days. It raised fears of a nuclear war, but it ended peacefully when the Soviets agreed to remove their missiles from Cuba and turn their ships around. But the Cold War continued. In Asia, the Kennedy administration tried to fight communism in Vietnam by increasing the number of American military advisors there. The United States and the Soviet Union did make some progress on arms control. In 1963, the two nations agreed to ban tests of nuclear weapons except underground. Kennedy also had to deal with domestic issues, including discrimination against blacks. His brother Robert was Attorney General, the nation's top law enforcement official. The Justice Department took legal action against states in the South that violated laws on voting rights. The administration also supported a voter registration campaign to sign up more black voters. Robert Kennedy repeatedly called on National Guard troops to protect blacks when they tried to register to vote or attend white schools. President Kennedy said the situation was causing a moral crisis in America. He decided it was time to propose a new civil rights law that would guarantee equal treatment for blacks in public places and jobs. Congress did not pass a wide-reaching civil rights bill until 1964. By then, Kennedy was no longer president. In November 1963, he traveled to Texas. He hoped to settle a dispute in the Democratic Party in that state. The dispute might have affected his chances for re-election in 1964. Kennedy arrived in Dallas in the late morning of November 22nd. The president and his wife were seated in the back of an open-topped car as his motorcade drove through the city. Suddenly, there were gunshots.
Bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
The motorcade raced to Parkland Memorial Hospital, but doctors could do little to save his life. This was how television newsman Walter Cronkite reported the news.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Police quickly arrested a suspect. Lee Harvey Oswald worked in a building near where Kennedy had been shot. People had seen him leave the building with a gun. Lee Harvey Oswald was a man with a strange past. He was a former United States Marine. He was also a communist. He had lived for a while in the Soviet Union and had tried to become a Soviet citizen. He worked for a committee that supported the communist government in Cuba. Police questioned Oswald about the shooting of President Kennedy. He told them he did not do it. After 2 days, officials decided to move him to a different jail. Oswald was being led by two police officers. Suddenly, a man stepped forward. There was a shot. Oswald fell to the ground. Television cameras broadcast the events live. The man who killed Oswald was Jack Ruby. He was a nightclub owner in Dallas. He said he shot Oswald to prevent the Kennedy family from having to live through a trial. A commission investigated the assassination of John F. Kennedy. The Chief Justice of the United States, Earl Warren, led the investigation. In its report, the Warren Commission said that Lee Harvey Oswald had acted alone. It said there was no plot to kill the president. Many Americans never accepted that finding. Some blamed Fidel Castro or the Central Intelligence Agency. Others blamed organized crime. President Kennedy was buried in Arlington National Cemetery across the Potomac River from Washington. An eternal flame burns night and day by his grave.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.